all in all, because all is related to everything else, and everything is part of the all. A weekly space on Oneness Talk Radio to explore topics of interest for our whole being, holism, health and well-being, philosophical questions and ideas for our times, and much more. All in All with Silvana Spano, therapist, holistic health coach, healer, and teacher. Hi everyone, and welcome to another episode of All in All, where I am happy to bring you my dear friend and colleague Dexter Leland from Santa Rosa, California. For those of you who have not listened to my previous episodes where I talk about our studies and work together over the years in shamanic techniques and many other forms of energy healing, Dexter and I share many experiences over time, especially in Guatemala, where we trained under Mayan shamans who took us under their wings and taught us a lot of very interesting and very useful things. Now, what I'd like to talk to you about today is an overall type of experience that I've had in different shamanic settings that is definitely outside of the ordinary in our modern Western lives. I'm talking about magical experiences, or experiences that defy the logical and the rational, but that were indeed direct, first-hand experiences that people like me and Dexter had in several occasions. This fits in with the idea of the morphogenic field, which Dr. Rupert Sheldrake, a well-known British scientist that used to work at Cambridge University, has talked about a lot. The website The Life Field Technique, TM, a foundational tool for conscious living, describes the morphogenic or morphogenetic field as fields of thought created by everything in existence. It is the input and output of creation, with every thought and action or non-action, every individual strengthens one of those fields of thought that exists, or with the focus of enough minds, creates a new one. You've heard of mass consciousness. This is a morphogenic field. End of quote. So in our case, this occurred when we entered the mass consciousness or collective field of the Mayans of Guatemala. This field is made of energy and information that is well established as a coherent pattern. And at least for some people, us included, you can tap into it when you are exposed enough to this pattern. And not even on purpose. Obviously, we were studying with the Mayans and we were open to new experiences, but we still had all of our usual personal and cultural points of reference. And still, we experience very unusual stuff. To say a few more words about this field that we entered, over time, the Mayans have contributed their own energy and thoughts to it. So this field is organized in a particular way within that specific environment, that level of reality, according to their beliefs, their understanding of how life and creation works, their experiences, and more. This field is not visible any more than the modern Western cultural field is visible, and yet it is very operational, very real and influential to all or many people who come in contact with it. And that is what we experienced, as if we had entered a portal where things were different, where people assumed different things, and where even the laws of nature operated in different ways than what we were used to. So I'll share one of my personal stories, and then we'll listen to Dexter share a couple of his stories too. And so here's the story of how I got the evil eye, literally. Not as a way of speaking, but as the experience of getting psychically attacked, intentionally or not, in a particular way that the Mayans and most, if not all, the shamanic people describe around the world. Until that point, I had learned the theory of what the Mayans call getting the evil eye. But to tell you the truth, as interesting as it was, I had no point of reference for it. And I also suspended belief about the truthfulness or accuracy of what people had explained to me. But a few weeks later, what happened is that while Dexter and I were living in the town of San Pedro La Laguna in Lake Atitlan, Guatemala, our teacher Vicenta's grandmother passed away. The funeral was organized, and we attended a mass at the local Catholic church. When the mass finished, Dexter was too tired to go on to the next funeral event and went back home. I followed the funeral procession, which included a live funeral band playing really sad music. We got to the cemetery where there were a lot of speeches of condolences and blessings for the family and the dearly departed. This all happened in front of the open niche where Vicenta's grandmother's casket was going to be laid to rest. It was a really interesting scene as we were all standing at the corner of these lanes that are left between rows of niches in the cemetery. There were hundreds of people from the town, all Sutuhil Mayans, except me. I was quietly standing there, not calling much attention, except for the fact that with only 5 feet 3 inches in height, I was still the tallest person in the crowd. And then as they laid the casket in its final place and began to board it up, Vicenta, my teacher, suddenly looked at me from several feet away and ran into my arms crying. So hundreds of eyes turned to us as we embraced, and this lasted a few minutes, and the procession moved on to a gathering at the family's home. Not where Dexter had gone, not where we were living with Vicenta and her immediate family, but another extended family home. So I visited for a while and then excused myself to go back to where we lived. But as I walked through the familiar streets of San Pedro, I noticed that I felt very strange. I felt disconnected, as if I was there, but not really there. As if everything was detached from me, my surroundings far away in some other dimension that I could see, but I didn't feel completely a part of. I remember feeling vulnerable, not sure if I could completely take care of myself walking down the streets, avoiding cars, turning at the right corner. So when I got home, I found Antonio there, one of our Mayan teachers who also lived with us. I explained how strange I felt. He asked me a few questions and diagnosed the problem. Evil eye. Not necessarily from evil intent, but definitely from too much attention. Too much curiosity from other people, too much energy directed at me. And so Antonio quickly gathered fresh eggs, garlic, hot peppers, holy water, candles, and he made me lie down on a mat on the floor. He worked on me for a few minutes, and then he declared that he was done. So I got up and discovered that I was back to normal. There was nothing left of that strange feeling at all, and it never came back. Next, we're going to hear Dexter talking about events that we were part of while living and studying in Guatemala. As he mentions, our main two teachers were Don Pedro Cruz, who trained Dexter in the art of Mayan fire ceremonies, and with whom I held long talks about many things, where he shared his wisdom and perspectives. Vicenta, a medicine woman, a curandera, as it's known in Spanish, whom we both lived with and shadowed for many months, learning a lot from her, and a young shaman called Antonio, who is Vicenta's brother-in-law. Antonio, especially, was the one who taught Dexter and I the art of soul retrieval in the Mayan style. If you want to know more about our experiences with soul retrieval, I have a previous episode on this radio program with 30 minutes of information on it. And you can access it through the YouTube channel dedicated to All in All and Todo en Todo. Now, let's listen to Dexter illustrate this theme I've been talking about, the theme of entering a world that is quite magical and strange to those of us raised in a Western culture, but also a world that takes you in and shows you that life is not always logical, rational, or linear. That fantastic interpretations of what is happening can coincide with our own firsthand experiences sometimes. If we tune into it and let our direct experiences show us that there's always more happening than the eye can tell. And here's Dexter.
Hello, my name is Dexter Leland. And these stories that I'm about to share with you take place in Guatemala, where I trained with Don Pedro Cruz, a Mayan shaman, for 7 years. He's affectionately known as Tata Pedro and lives on the shores of Lake Atitlan. And this beautiful setting, it's a huge 10-mile-long caldera lake in the highlands of Guatemala. And the purpose of these stories that I'm sharing with you, that I'm putting into a book, I lived in Guatemala for 7 years, from 2001 to 2008, studying with the Mayan shamans and the culture. And I discovered that in this beautiful culture, the Mayans hold space for a total other existence rather than we're here in the West, where rational mind is our God. The Mayans are holding space on the planet where real spiritual magic can happen, way beyond the realm of logic. And these stories are stories of me sharing my experiences of just very much out-of-the-box kinds of adventures that I had while I lived and studied in Guatemala. So there was one evening where Silvana and I were leaving San Pedro to return briefly to a home that I rented in Antigua, which is a several-hour drive away. And this evening, we went by Vicenta, her home, to say goodbye to her family. And she was the woman, the healer that we had just met and we're getting to know. And she's a very powerful healer, bone setter, midwife, intuitive counselor that we were soon to be actually living with and studying with. But at this time, we were getting to know her and her family and said goodbye. And then we walked down the trail to my Mayan teacher, Tata Pedro's home. And what was interesting is that there was just no lights on. Everything was dark and silent, and I was calling out. And finally, his son, little Pedro, came out. He's about 20 years old at this time. And we said, well, where's Don Pedro? We'd like to say goodbye for now. And he said, well, the granddaughter, Maribel, had an encounter with a negative entity, and he was down at her home the granddaughter's home and trying to deal with it. And so I said, well, let's go down there and let's see if we can help. So Silvana and Pedro and I briskly walked down to the home. I knew the family and I knew the granddaughter. She was about 14 years old at the time. And on the way down, I was questioning little Pedro, and I said, well, this is something that Don Pedro can deal with, right? And he said, no, there's a whole nother lineage in the community. There's a group of shamans that are called the Midnight Shamans, and they have a whole ceremony and a whole ritual that deal with this. And my mind was pretty much blown at the time, because I had been in this village for on and off for 5 years and never heard of this other lineage. And Don Pedro was kind of the shaman of Lecatitlan, and that was my experience at the time. So when we got down to the house, what had happened to Maribel is that she had tripped and fallen on one of the pathways that goes through the coffee fincas that connect different parts of the town. And in their belief system, when they fall, in that split second is a room for a negative entity to leap in and take over and occupy our bodies. So she looked very out of it. The family looked very worried. And in my naivete, I said, well, maybe I'll try some Reiki on her. And the family agreed, and we went into one of the bedrooms, and little Pedro sat on the bed, and Maribel was lying down, and her head was in his lap. And I sat on the side of the bed, and Silvana was behind me, and Don Pedro sat in a chair off to my right. And I just laid my hands on her stomach area and started bringing in energy. And all of a sudden realized that I was in a life and death struggle with a very strong entity that I was dealing with. And so I was repeating over and over again that you must leave. This is not your body. This is not your room or your home. You must leave this body now. And just really kind of brought in all the energies of my guides and guardians. I just kept flooding the whole my hands with love and light and bringing in energy. Silvana and Don Pedro were meditating and praying as I was bringing this energy in. And after about 15 minutes, I felt like she had actually stopped breathing. And I felt her pulse, and there was no more pulse. And I asked little Pedro if he sensed any breathing. And he said no. And so, you know, it seemed like an eternity, but about 20 seconds had gone by where there was just, she had gone. And so I just kept flooding energy in and flooding energy in, and then boom, all of a sudden her pulse came back and she was cleared, and with quite a relief. And what I realized is in their culture, these midnight shamans, what they do is they have a ceremony where they go in the middle of the night to the place where she had fallen down, and they do a ceremony, and they have these cloth whips that they clear the air, and they come down to the house at midnight and put the whip under her pillow where she's sleeping. And that is the part of the ceremony that's clearing her. So I felt like I was starting to learn a new modality in the village, and kind of was relieved that I was able to be of assistance and that my guides and guardians came through and helped cleanse and clear this situation.
Thank you, Dexter, for that long and complex story of what happened that night. In fact, the story of Maribel was really quite something in terms of the new type of shamanic work that we discovered that night. The actual incident where Maribel basically died and came back right in front of our eyes And the fact that this all happened in a very mysterious way for us, but not for them, which showed us in what different reality the Mayans lived, but it also showed us that we had become part of that reality, and that reality had become part of our experience. Here's Dexter again with the continuation of that story, as he shares how he discovered how common it is for trauma to cause that type of comatose condition among the Mayans, which can be remedied by the intervention of a special kind of shaman, the so-called midnight shamans.
And so in the process of realizing there was this whole other lineage, the next day I connected with a Mayan family who owned a coffee farm and who had a little restaurant where I used to get my coffee in the morning. And their son, Edgar, I asked him if he'd ever heard of these midnight shamans. And he told me this quite amazing story about when he was a teenager and his friends went up the mountain and were on one of these rope swings that went over and would drop into a big stream and a pool. And what happened was his girlfriend had slipped off the rope and fallen and went into a coma. And so what happened was they had brought her down, and after 8 days of being in the coma, they called on one of the midnight shamans. And he went up to the spot and they did the ceremony and came back. And the minute he opened the door to her room, she came out of the coma before he even had a chance to put the whip under the pillow. And she came back to full consciousness and was quite well. So this was very inspiring to open up a whole new world where I was studying and learning more about these magical experiences in the community, and started gathering more information and just was accumulating more wonderful experiences that Sylvain and I were having by being in the culture and being actually invited into the culture and being trained in a variety of different modalities.
Well, thanks again. We're now going to hear one more story from Dexter. It is the story of his final initiation into the path of the Mayan fire ceremony work. In other words, his graduation from the apprenticeship that he did with Don Pedro Cruz. And here's Dexter Leland once again.
The most magical experience that took place with my exploration with the Mayans was on the day of my initiation. After walking the path with Don Pedro Cruz for 5 years, he said that now I needed to do a ceremony for the Four Directions and for the 20 Nawals. And I decided I wanted to have my initiation on the day of my Gregorian birthday, which is January 23rd. And I wanted to do it at Don Pedro's home, at his altar, at his house in San Pedro. So the whole time that I had been studying with him and traveling with him, he knew that I did not want any kind of animal sacrifice done. And when I consulted with him about getting all the materials ready for my final initiation, he said, well, we need to sacrifice a bird. And so I didn't feel comfortable with that. And I said, well, could we, when that comes around at that point in the ceremony, celebrating the Nawal of the bird, can we let the bird go? And so he meditated a minute and said, okay. So when we indeed went to the market to buy all the products and all the things for making the ceremony and the fire and all the incense and candles, we found a little shop that had three doves in a box. And he told me to buy them all. So we bought them all and brought them back. And so on the day of my initiation, we gathered at his home and started the fire ceremony. Some of my friends came from different parts of the lake, and there were two other shamans there and their families. So when we started the fire ceremony, and it's a big round area that the flames, you know, came up to about eye level, and we're moving through and we're giving our thanksgiving to each Nawal of the Mayan calendar, we got to the point where we were giving the sacrifice to the bird. And so he put the three birds, one in my hand, one in another shaman's hand, and one of the shaman's wife's hands. And when we did our ceremony for that particular Nawal, we threw them all up in the air and they flew, but instead of flying away, they came and about 5 feet away, they all lined up in a row and watched us, which is very unusual. And I looked down and you could also almost take a measuring tape and see they were like identically just standing there lined up watching us. And all of a sudden, one of the birds flew up right in front of me, eye to eye, and opened its wings and dropped into the fire. And as it dropped down into the fire, Don Pedro, trying to honor my wish for no sacrifices, grabbed the bird. It was too far gone, and he just put it back in the fire. And so it was just an amazing gift that this bird did, despite my intentions and my wishes. It was part of the ceremony, and we were in such an altered state that it was just honoring the offering, and the bird looked me right in the eye. It was like 3 feet away from me as it dropped into the flames, and it was one of these experiences that I'll never forget. And so I wanted to share that with everyone. And it's more an example of the magic that can happen in a culture that is holding space for this magic to happen and for this very powerful spiritual journey to take place that's still going on in Guatemala and still being cultivated and still honoring the earth, and all the Nawals of the Mayan calendar are still being fed and taken care of. So thank you for listening, and enjoyed telling these adventures.
Well, dear listeners, I hope you found all of this interesting. Needless to say, these and several other experiences have transformed both Dexter's and my understanding of what is possible. Sending you blessings. Until next time. Thank you for listening to today's program. I wish you a week ahead filled with blessings for your body, heart, and soul, and hope that you tune into All in All next time. If you're bilingual or learning Spanish, I invite you to stay on and listen to the Spanish version of this episode. Coming up next, ciao!